Welcome to Steadfast Hope. This is Kent Steinbeck. This is the real Kent Steinbeck. Not a cardboard cutout, Kent Steinbeck. I am Steve Lawson.
And we've got Steve
Lawson. The real Steve Lawson.
Stephen James.
It was Stephen James Lawson, which may be the problem. And we're coming to you from Herb's House, which is a coffee shop here in Dallas, Texas. You need to come to Herb's House, by the way. And we're looking at 2 Peter 1, verse 10. If you have your Bible, I would encourage you to turn to 2 Peter 1, verse 10. The title of this devotion is Assurance of Salvation. And I want to begin by reading the verse. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Kent, you and I both work with people as we serve the Lord. We talk to people about the Lord. One of the most reoccurring topics that comes up, and I discussed this with people after church this past Sunday, is where are they with the Lord? Mm-hmm. And for believers, assurance of salvation. And for unbelievers, helping them disconnect from a false assurance of a salvation they do not have. And here, Peter's talking about assurance of salvation. And there's probably not a more practical subject for Peter to address than this matter of assurance of salvation. So let's walk through this verse, and I'm sure this will be very relevant in your life today. He says, therefore, brethren, so that lets us know he's talking to true believers here in verse 10, be all the more diligent. And that's a strong word. It means to be zealous, to make haste, to be wholehearted, to be all the more diligent, to make certain. And the word certain here means to be firm and secure in something. So God wants us to be certain and sure about something. He says about his calling and choosing you. Now, this calling is what we call God's effectual calling. It's his sovereign summons and subpoena that irresistibly draws the elect out of the world into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And standing behind this calling is his choosing you. Calling takes place within time. His choosing you took place before time, before the foundation of the world. And someone may say, well, how would I be able to know that I'm one of God's elect? How would I know that God has sovereignly foreordained my salvation and has irresistibly drawn me into relationship with Christ? And Peter says here, you can know that. Isn't that interesting, Kent? Mm-hmm. Now, as you and I go out and witness to people, we don't know who the elect are and who the non-elect are. So we're just a witness to everyone. So we don't know out there in the world. However, in my own heart, we ought to be able to know that I am one of God's elect. And so how would you know if you are one of his chosen ones who has been called into fellowship with his son? Well, the second half of the verse tells us, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Now, these things, again, refers back to verses 5 through 7 in context here. Moral excellence, verse 5, knowledge, self-control, verse 6, perseverance, godliness. Verse 7, brotherly kindness and love. As there is the evidence of this spiritual maturity and growth, we can be rest assured that God has chosen us for salvation and that we have been called into a saving relationship with Christ, because you cannot fake what's in verses 5 through 7. You can fake by just going to church and just buying a Bible and going through the outward motions. You can just get in that parade and go along with the crowd. But moral excellence and brotherly kindness and love and self-control,
yeah,
That's something only God can produce inside of a person who knows Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. So what he is saying here, where the root is sovereign election and effectual calling, there will always be the fruit of practicing these things. And he says, and you will never stumble. The stumble here, I think, refers to lacking assurance of your salvation and having doubt and fear. So a good root will always produce good fruit. And as you see good fruit in your life, you can have the assurance that you have the good root, which is God's working. Only God can do the root. You participate in the fruit that's being produced. So, Kent, let's talk about it. A lot of theology, by the way, in this verse.
And I think the first question that pops up to a lot of our viewers is okay, I made a commitment to Christ when I was 12, but I really didn't decide to follow Him until I was 26.
Yeah.
Is that right? Is that accurate? Is that what the Bible's not saying that, is it?
No, the Bible is saying you were converted when you began to walk with the Lord. Mm-hmm. There's no one who's converted who's not walking with the Lord. Mm-hmm. That person does not exist.
There's got to be this change.
There will be a radical change in your life. Mm-hmm. If your life has not changed, mm-hmm. then you've never met the risen Christ.
Wow.
Because He's too powerful. He's too full of grace. Mm-hmm. He's too invasive into our lives. Mm-hmm. When He comes to rule and reign within us, that if there's no life change, mm-hmm. are you kidding me? Are you telling me you're greater than the sovereign Lord of heaven and earth who would come into someone's life? No, there will be a life change. Mm-hmm. Now, it will be progressive.
Right.
It will be increasing. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, there will be a break from sinful patterns in the past.
Right.
And that you will be now on a new path headed in a new direction. And as you see that, you can make certain His calling and choosing you. You can know that that this is real mm-hmm. in your life.
Right, right.
Yeah.
All right, so I would say part B to that question is there is a change, and obviously a person is genuinely saved. Can it be then also that there's still areas in their life that have not changed as much or maybe haven't been cleaned up, and there are desires that there is a repentance, but there's still areas in their life where maybe they're not where they need to be?
Oh, of course. Yeah, and a true Christian, none of us are where we need to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're all a work in progress. Mm-hmm. However, there will be in every area of our life some degree of change. There may be certain areas that will be slower in this development than in other areas, and there can be reasons for that.
Yeah.
But in every area, there will be some evidence of change. And it's just like when the tide comes in,
that's good.
All the driftwood is lifted up. And when Christ comes in, every area of your life will be elevated and raised. Mm-hmm. However, to your point, there can be some areas that are slower to develop than others.
So there could be, for example, a lack of love as much as there should be.
Yeah.
There could be a lack of desires of maybe wanting to be or do certain things or be certain things, even though there's a desire to want to be it, but not as much.
Yes. And sometimes it's hard to really discern, because some of it is a matter of temperament and personality. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think some people just by their personality are nicer and kinder.
Yeah.
They're just sweet people. They were that way to some measure before they were even converted, and almost naive. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard for us to sort through that. However, for some other people where it's more of a challenge to extend themselves to love others, mm-hmm. that may be a greater evidence of love, because they've had to go the second mile, mm-hmm. the third mile,
sure.
and overcome a temperament and a personality that might be more critical mm-hmm. or might be more objective about things. And so it requires a greater sacrifice for that person.
Yeah.
And so I think right. sometimes we may even be a little harder on ourselves mm-hmm. thinking, what's wrong with me, when in reality, no, you've had to make a greater mm-hmm. choice to extend love to someone than this other Christian who just even they're more of a people person.
Yeah.
They're more of a social butterfly. Mm-hmm. And that's not a matter of spirituality. That's just a matter of their temperament and
everything.
Personality.
Sure.
And someone else who's more of an introvert mm-hmm. and a project person, it may be a greater evidence of love for them to walk across the room.
That's good.
And to put out
sure.
their hand and
sure.
initiate encouragement because they've had to rise above their own natural
yeah.
tendencies.
Mm-hmm.
So... where are you in all this is the real question. And I want to encourage you to make certain God's calling and choosing you by practicing these things that we see in 2 Peter chapter 1. So God's grace is all sufficient, and He can work in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure to produce greater evidences of Christ-likeness in your life. Thank you for joining us today for Steadfast Hope.